say amen. Now, if you're really happy to be here, say amen, amen. All right, all right, all right. And so that's we got an exciting opportunity this year. This is one of those rare years where there will be 53 Sundays. Usually we only have 52, but this is one of those rare years. I'm planning out my schedule for 2023. I found out that we got 53 Sundays this year. So the Lord has given us a bonus day to remember him and to serve him. So we're looking forward to that this year as well. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians is where we'll be this morning, in chapter 5 and verse 17. And it talks about being a new creature. And this is talking about, so when we become a Christian, how our life needs to change. That would have been a good place for an amen. How when we become a Christian, our life needs to change. There we go. Good job. All right. And so now as we look at that and we think of that, we need to understand that this this whole idea that we have of the celebration of the new year is kind of an opportunity for us to have a fresh start or to start over. We always are looking for an opportunity to do better. Oh, if I could have done it this way, type of a thing. I would have changed. And so we've got this new year, this new fresh start, in a way of saying it. And so Paul says this, and I've got my next several months laid out for our sermons, and I was talking with Brandon last night how many of them are going to be taken out of this 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There's just oodles and oodles of good, what I want to say, one-line verses, you know, of things and information that needs to be applied to the Christian's life. And this is the first one we want to look at. If there's any verse that I've used more probably on any first Sunday of the new year, this is that text, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ... And so you have to ask yourself this morning, are you in Christ? Right? Are you in Christ? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, new things have come. Now, like Rick made mention this morning, if all things are made new, somebody forgot to tell his knees. But as we look at that, this is what we need to realize. It's not just an opportunity for us to grab on to as Thomas had prayed there, a new resolution for the year or new thing, but to improve our spiritual walk. You know, so many times people say, well, if I could, you know, drop a few pounds, if I could do this or if I could do that. But how many of our goals are spiritual-minded goals? Because the spiritual should way far outweigh the idea of trying to accomplish new physical things. Not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but we need to understand that those old things have passed away. And so what this is talking about for us is that old style of life. If you've become a Christian, if you've been a Christian now for any time whatsoever, and your life has not changed, then repentance, I have to question. Because repentance is a change of mind that produces a change of action. And so in what we are doing, have we changed? Have we rethought our path? So, in a way, we may not have all been immersed today and come out of the watery grave of baptism. But in a way, we're given this opportunity of the first day of the new year to be here, that we could set some spiritual goals. We've got our annual meeting at the end of the month, and usually we try to share different things that we're going to. And so I have been thinking ahead and trying to find things that to challenge the congregation here. Because we can sometimes become happy with the old. But Paul tells us that we're new creatures. If we are in Christ, are we in Christ? Yep. If we are in Christ, then we are new creatures, and the old is done away with, and then we need to look towards the new. One thing I think that hinges for the rest of our lesson here this morning, but hopefully that as you consider being a new creature, the one thing that makes it different for us, when I say us, those that are in Christ compared to the rest of the lost and dying world, is that we have hope every day. Say that together. But I have hope every day. Right? I have hope every day. And so when we look at this and we think about having hope every day, we have to stop and realize, so where does that hope come from? Our hope, those that are in Christ, our hope is in Christ. We find hope nowhere else. Why do we live in a world, a society that people are struggling, depression, over the edge, things that get out of control? Because we don't focus on Christ. They don't focus on Him. Now, we still can struggle with that. I still believe that there's that struggle. But the difference is, whose side are we on? Right? Where do we find our hope? In Christ. The problem is we look for identity solvers in our own life. Guys, I do this or I do that or I've accomplished this. And so we look at the things in our life and that's what makes me a man. No, it's being in Christ that gives us our identity. And we need to remember that. Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, he lived in a time where he felt lost, he felt separated, he felt alienated, slipped into depression. Many of God's prophets did that. He felt alone. But you know, Jeremiah, and reading this, you know, he had a blessing that I think many times that we failed. He was able to go in and out of Jerusalem. The king had granted him permission to go in and out of Jerusalem to preach the word of consolation, of encouragement to his people, the Israelites. And sometimes I think Jeremiah maybe overlooked the good things that he had in his life, the opportunities he had that nobody else had. But anyway, Jeremiah, a man that struggled with those things, also wrote the book that we know of is called Lamentations. And in Lamentations 3, 21 and 23, it says, "This I recall to mind." In other words, if you're going to remember something, as you're going about your life and you think of all the terrible things that are going on and how you wonder if God's there, by the way, He is. "This I call to mind," he says. In other words, as I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, this is what I'm going to focus on. Boy, there are all kinds of things we could focus on. There's all kinds of things that we could dwell on. There's all kinds of things that we could really get down in the dumps about. But this is what Jeremiah says. This is what I recall to my mind. This is what I'm going to think about as I renew my mind daily. These are the things I'm going to focus on. Therefore, Jeremiah says, I have hope. Amen? Rest of the world, outside of Christ, no hope. Those of us in Christ, we started this at the beginning there in 2 Corinthians, those of us in Christ, that's where we find our hope. The Lord's loving kindness, or depending on your translations, might say the Lord's mercies, and we sang about that this morning. The Lord's mercies indeed never cease. Do you ever get tired of being bummed out? So what you're saying is you want to quit being bummed out. I'm telling you, be a quitter. Right? Right? Be a quitter, because his mercies, his loving kindness never ceases. So be a quitter. Give up being bummed out. Look to him who offers loving kindness, his mercies that never cease. For his compassions never fail. Do you ever wish somebody had sent you a text and they didn't? Did you ever wish you got a call from someone and it never came? Did you ever wish that somebody would have said something to you and it didn't happen? See, we don't have to worry about that with the Lord. His compassions never fail. We never have to say, boy, the Lord really let me down in that one. No. His compassions never fail, for they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So why do you think he says they're new every morning? Why not wait till the end of the day when we know what kind of a day we've already had? Right? Says that they are new every morning. What he's trying to do is give us a jump start. Right? The best part of every morning is having a good breakfast, right? No, I think it's a little communication with the Lord. Because his compassions, they never fail. The Lord always knows the right thing to say. The Lord always knows the right thing that needs to be done in our life. Even though we look at it and we can't figure it out, we have hope in him, because great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Do we trust in him when things seem to be not what we want them to be? We still have hope every day. Now, as we talk here this morning about, for the remaining portion of the message, we're going to be talking about that old and the new. The old and the new, right? And so as we stop and we consider this morning, if you use the New American Standard Bible, and you got to understand the term old, sometimes that might be thrown in there like someone was 120 years old. Old is where we see that word used. However, 347 times in the New American Standard, the word old is used. 176 times in the New American Standard, the word new is used. So we'd say there even, well, the Lord says to focus on the new, but yet even in his word, he talks about the old twice as much as he does the new. Well, Jesus talked about the old and the new. Of course, we know that because of Jesus, we had the old covenant, and now we have the new covenant in him. And so the new is better. But if we get an idea of what Jesus is trying to share with us, and he talks about this several times, and we're just going to look at it one time, or one passage this morning. But let go of the old. All right, can we all say that together? Let go of the old. All right, there's some of you that were still hanging on. All right, let go of the old, right? All right? Now, I know some of you are saying, you know, never, I was going to say, I guess I have to go home by myself because I'll leave the old behind, right? My wife has a birthday this week. Right, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, let go of the old. Let go of the old. Mark chapter 2. We're going to break these two verses down, one verse each as we look at them. But I want for us to look at it how Jesus is looking at it. I'm not sure exactly, you know, where this was, exactly how it took place. But I want for you all to put on your sanctified imaginators, if you could, today. And I want you to consider or imagine two things happening here. The first one says, let's read it. So no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it, and the new from the old, and a worse tear results. So let's just focus on that for just a moment. I don't know. I can kind of imagine as Jesus is walking that maybe he is walking through a little bit of a marketplace. And we see, you know, they got their nice new wool Levi jeans, you know, there. And they're all nice and new looking. And then there's the Goodwill store over here, and they've got a used one, and they're saying, well, yes, these jeans have a hole in them, but you can put a patch on them and fix them up just nice, except for, you know, some teenager goes through there and buys it. I want the ones with the hole in it, but anyway, that's a different story. But he takes the pair of jeans with a hole, or the pair of pants or whatever he's got there with the hole, and he sits down. And see, what we've got to understand is they didn't have the different pre-shrunk materials and things that we have today where you can take two different kinds. Go back into the Old Testament law. Don't take two different kinds of fabric and try to sew them together and make them meet up. There was a religious thought there, not just a common sense thing, but there was an idea of not being bonded together with those of different faiths is what he was really trying to get at. But Jesus just says, okay, so we've got nobody in their right mind would take a new patch that has been just freshly made, take that to that pair of pants or that robe or whatever they're looking at and try to put that together, because by doing so, when you put the new patch onto the old stuff. And so we oftentimes, and I hear Christians say this all the time, well, I'm gonna associate or be involved with this group or this person because I am strong in Christ. Jesus is saying the new patch, because we are new creation, we're a new creature, right? He says that new patch is actually going to cause all kinds of damage. It's going to tear away from what? The old stuff. And he tells them that nobody in their right mind would do that, because then when that happens, the new from the old, when the patch pulls away from it, the new from the old, a worse tear results. So I don't know. I'm just trying to think. So what's worse than one lost person? Two lost people. And Jesus is saying, so you've got the old one, don't attach the new to it and think just by all of a sudden, well, I've got a brand new pair of pants. No. What he says is what's going to happen is that old's going to have a greater influence on the new quicker than the new is on the old. It's going to cause destruction. What he's saying is the scribes, maybe even us today, are sitting there and looking at this old piece of material, and yet we see our good, righteous things that we've done. Right? We have maybe a favorite shirt or a favorite jacket or a pair of pants, maybe shoes you don't want to get rid of, but you can't wear because they're worn out. And yet we still think that's great. That is wonderful. And yet, it's shot. We think of it as, boy, this is great. When the fact of the matter is, Why are we as individuals so happy and want to hold on to the old when the Lord tells us the new is so much better? Is it we're sentimental? Is it because we're frugal? No, I just think we're plumb crazy. We want to hold on to the things that don't matter. And it's not our righteousness that matters anyway. It's His. Second part of that, verse 22. No one puts new wine into the old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost, and the skins as well. But one puts new wine into fresh skins. And so, generally, you know how this would happen. It would either be from a smaller animal. They might seal up the entire animal and then use that to make a thermos jug, a transport of some sort. Or if you if it was cheaper, you'd use like a stomach, something of skin that would be used to. And so you couldn't put something new, especially like the wine into an old wineskin that already has fixed its shape, and not expect for there to be a burst or a tear or something of that nature. And what the Lord is telling us is, so you think you're all good and great in that old wineskin, but I've got something new I want to put into you, something that's bubbling and full of life. And if you do that, guess what's going to happen? Both will be lost. The old vessel will be torn asunder, and the contents that were put into there are lost as well. And so what he's saying is, this here is talking about our attitude. You need to have a new attitude, an attitude adjustment. You need to have a change that takes place, and you don't put your new Christ-like attitude back in your old way of thinking. You start it over. You get a new vessel. You use that to then carry the new attitude that we are to have, unless both would be lost. We know the old has to be cleansed of the new, cleansed of the old. This gives us our new life, our new attitude, our new way of thinking, a resolution for a new year, a resolution for a new life. As we came up out of that watery grave of baptism, don't try to hold on to the old, but embrace the new. Embrace the new. Rick already mentioned Don Cooper once this morning, and I have a hard time saying Romans 12:2 without quoting Don Cooper as well. But we talked about this hope that we have. Which day? Every day. Do we need to let go of the old and embrace the new? Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you want a new day? Do you want the mercies to be new every day? Who makes your day be a good day? Who's going to renew your mind? It doesn't say that God does it. It doesn't say that your spouse does it. It doesn't say that we as Christians do that. Now, we can impact that and should. But do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, you want hope? Change your mind. Be in Christ. You want hope? Then reach out for it. The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And this is what we do each and every day. We look into the mirror, and we say, I'm good enough. I'm smart enough, right? And man, people like me, right? No, we have to set that tone ourselves, though, by the renewing of your mind. Again, so when does this happen? I believe that Don Cooper suggests that when you wake up in the morning, just as Jeremiah did, when he recalls to mind the kindness, the loving kindness, the mercies, the compassion that fails not, to do that in the morning so that you transform the rest of your day. Embrace the new. In other words, and Paul says this in many other occasions, but to have this mind in you which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, to have the mind of Christ. You know, when Christ came to this world, and long before that, but as he came to this world and knew what he was going to have to do, he was all in. And nothing is sadder to us than a Christian that begins their walk and 3 months later, we're like, where did they go? You know, and you may find them and they say, you know, I'm just living the best life I can live. I'm just letting you know, our best life is not now. Mr. Olstein tried to sell us that in a whole book. If our best life is now, then we as Christians are to be most pitied. That's going more from Paul than from Joel. But we're to renew our mind in Christ. We find those in the world that renew their hope in all sorts of different things. But we are to renew our hope in Christ daily, because we have hope in Christ every day. We don't have to wait till Sunday. Oh, it's always good. It's always great. It's a good time to be here. But we have the hope of Jesus Christ on Thursday afternoon. On Tuesday night, we have the hope of Christ because we are in Christ. Only two verses in the whole Bible tell us how to get into Christ, and both of them say we are baptized into him, Galatians 3 and Romans 6. Be immersed into Jesus Christ. We have hope in Christ every day. We need to learn to let go of the old and do our best to embrace the new. That's what this new year's all about, right? Embracing the new. Let's put that old year behind us. Even if it was a decent year for us, let's put that behind us and let's have an even better year, right? That's what we think. That's what we're all about. But we are to wake up every morning cradled in the arms of Christ and say, I'm going to renew my mind. Those mercies and loving kindness that is given to us, I have that. And anyone outside of Christ does not. Oh, as we've said before, how do they do it without the Savior? If you're here this morning and you want to begin that walk with your Savior, then it starts by having a belief in Jesus Christ. It starts by repenting of your sin. Remember, you work out in your mind, the renewing of your mind, just like you have to repent for your sin. You know, I can't say, boy, I sure am sorry for what Matt did. Lord, I repent for the sinner that Nick is. Right? Oh, well, you know, that'd be easy to do, right? We'd even have fun doing it. But when we have to admit that of our own failure, it's a humbling thing. But Christ was all in, and he wants for his followers to be all in too. And we submit to him, repent of our sin. We confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We are immersed into Jesus Christ for that forgiveness of our sin, and we then live faithfully. He is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Boy, wouldn't it be great if we could be faithful like he is. But he's given us his Son. He's given us the Holy Spirit so that when the Father looks down at us, he sees Jesus. He sees Jesus. God lets go of the old and he embraces the new. He embraces the one that makes us a new creature in Jesus, or in God, the Father, because of what Jesus Christ did. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Jesus, let today be your day of salvation. Wouldn't it be a neat thing to be able to say that on the first day of the year, I became a Christian? Right? Wouldn't that be neat? That you began that walk, that you became a new creature on that physical new day to start a spiritual new life. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation?